we go on the air, Pope Benedict is nearing the end of the second day of his visit to Cyprus, the first ever by a pope to this Mediterranean island, which has been divided for over 35 years into two parts. The southern two-thirds is inhabited by the Greek Cypriots and the northern third by Turkish Cypriots. Pope Benedict had a busy morning in the capital, Nicosia, where his engagements included a meeting with the President of the Republic, an address to the island's civil authorities and diplomats, and an encounter with the Catholic community. Our correspondent in Cyprus for this papal visit is Charles Collins, and he now tells us in detail about each of those engagements.
After arriving in the coastal city of Paphos on Friday, Pope Benedict spent his first full day in the capital, Nicosia, on Saturday. The day began with a courtesy visit to the president of Cyprus, Dimitris Christofias. During his visit, the president said the country was experiencing the painful military occupation of more than 36% of its territory, with Nicosia remaining the last divided European capital. He recalled the prayer for peace the Pope made in the Holy Land, which is also divided by walls, and asked this prayer for peace soon be fulfilled in the case of Cyprus as well. The president said he was seeking a just, viable, and functional solution to the Cyprus problem, with a goal of a bizonal, bicommunal federation with political equality for the two communities. The Pope then enjoyed a performance by the Cyprus Young String Soloists, before speaking about the importance of integrity in public service to a group of civil authorities and diplomats gathered at the presidential palace.
At a personal level, you, as public servants, know the importance of truth, integrity, and respect in your relationships with others. Personal relationships are often the first steps towards building trust and, in due course, solid bonds of friendship between individuals, peoples, and nations. This is an essential part of your role, both as politicians and diplomats.
The Pope urged governments to enact laws in accordance to the principle of natural law.
An appeal to the letter was once considered self-evident, but the tide of positivism in the contemporary legal theory requires a restatement of this important action. Individuals, communities, and states, without guidance from objectively moral truths, would become selfish and unscrupulous, and the world a more dangerous place to live. On the other hand, by being respectful of the rights of persons and peoples, we protect and promote human dignity. When the policies we support are enacted in harmony with the natural law, proper to our common humanity, then our actions become more sound and conductive to an environment of understanding, justice, and peace.
After his meeting with the civil authorities, the Pope went to the Maronite School of St. Maron. There, in the school's athletic grounds, he met with the Catholic community of Cyprus. Most of the Catholics are Maronites who arrived on the island in the 12th century, and Pope Benedict was welcomed by their Archbishop, Joseph Suwaif.
These are the values of the island: multiculturalism and dialogue of life, despite the difficulties of some periods from which we must take lessons. The choice must be openness and dialogue, respecting the particularities and based on love in truth. Thus, you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Welcome, Your Holiness. Thank you for being with us. May you bless your church and all the people of Cyprus who are glad of your presence.
The Pope made a special appeal to the small church on the island, saying they are in a unique position to benefit all of Cypriot society.
Dear brothers and sisters, given your unique circumstances, I would also like to draw your attention to an essential part of our church's life and mission, namely the search for greater unity in charity with other Christians and dialogue with those who are not Christians.
The meeting with the Pope was a celebration of Maronite culture with songs and dancing. The majority of the Maronites are from villages currently under Turkish occupation. Pope Benedict had special words for these displaced people.
In a special way, I wish to consign this message to those present who come from Kormakiti, Asomatos, Karpasha, and Aya Marina. I know of your desires and sufferings, and so I ask you to carry my blessing, my closeness, and my affection to all who come from your villages. We Christians are a people of hope. For my part, I fervently hope and pray that with the commitment and goodwill of those concerned, a better life for all the inhabitants of the island will be speedily assured.
After this meeting, the Pope went to the residence of the Orthodox Archbishop of Cyprus, Chrysostomus II. During his visit, he viewed the small cathedral of Nicosia, as well as the Museum of Icons, which includes ancient works looted from churches in the Turkish-occupied north of the country, which were returned to Cyprus from other countries. In his speech to the Archbishop, the Pope remarked on the role Cyprus has played in the dialogue between the Catholic and Orthodox churches.
I am likewise grateful for the support that the Church of Cyprus, through the clarity and openness of her contributions, has always given to the work of the dialogue. May the Holy Spirit guide and confirm this great ecclesial undertaking, which aims at restoring full and visible communion between the churches of East and West, a communion to be lived in fidelity to the Gospel and the apostolic tradition, esteem for the legitimate traditions of East and West, and openness to the diversity of gifts by which the Spirit builds up the Church in unity, holiness, and peace.
The Pope also urged all the Christians of Cyprus to work and pray for peace, reconciliation, and stability throughout the Holy Land. With the Pope in Nicosia, Cyprus, I'm Charles Collins.